Last Sunday, I did a sermon called Security in God.
Yeah.
And I think I struck a chord.
Yeah.
A lot of people came up to me, and they're talking about their fears and how they need to get tight with God, how they really needed to become secure in God. And that's really going to be always the battle. But the question was, how do I get there? I want to do it. And we did talk about, in a lot of ways, how you do it. You just got to make a decision and deal with it in the mind.
Yeah.
Thinking the way God would think.
Wow.
And really drawing near to Him in our quiet times. But that's not enough. Look in Genesis chapter 4.
Come on, bro.
And I thought, well, you know what we're going to do is we're going to do a little sermon on this. And the title is called Mastering Self.
Come on.
Because people said, you know, listen, mentally I want to be there, but I just can't get over the hump. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
You want to get there, and there's something in your life that owns you.
Yeah.
Something that you just have a hard time changing.
My bro.
It's been there, you hate it, but it just doesn't change.
Yep.
Well, today we're going to change it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, Genesis chapter 4. That is the first book of the Bible.
Amen.
I'll be out there.
Come on, bro.
Verse 1.
First principles.
It says, Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits and of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it.
Wow.
Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Wow! What an intense little passage here, and it's right in the beginning. Sibling rivalry. There it is. Didn't take long for there to be the first murder in the Bible.
Wow.
You look at this and you think, what is the problem here? What's Cain's problem? Well, you look at what it said here, you know, they offer these gifts to the Lord. And it says the Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering, but not on Cain's. And why? Well, because Cain didn't give his best, and Abel did. Abel knew what God wanted, and he gave it to him. It's just like any other gift-giving thing. You know, we know what people like, usually. Been around them, and you know what'll fire them up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're going to give me a gift, don't give me socks. Just doesn't fire me up.
Right.
All right? If you want to give me a rifle with a scope on it, okay.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
All right?
Right there.
Yeah. You know, when you're a kid, little kid, you get socks for Christmas.
Yeah.
Fire you up.
No.
Yeah. Where's the BB gun, right? That kind of thing. Red Ryder.
Oh.
All right. So, anyways, this Wednesday, of course, last week was my birthday.
Yeah.
40 again. And Dave and Bernie gave me a gift. It was awesome. It was not socks, but it was in a blue bag with a Bears emblem on it. Now, if you don't know me, I was raised in Green Bay.
Go, Pack, go!
Okay? And on the other side, it said, Go Bears!
Come on, Dave!
Well, I'm in Chicago, right? I surrendered myself, right? denial self, right? And inside was a Packer hat. Smile. You know, gifts say a lot about, you know, who we are and how we handle things. I'm going to be fired up no matter what, just to the fact that they thought of me. But there's something different in what we give to people. Do we give our hearts? Do we think about them? Or is it, okay, I know I need to give a gift, so what do I have laying around? Kind of mentality.
Oh, wow. Come on, bro.
And Cain gets angry. Well, why are you getting angry? You're the one who gave the gift. He's the one who gets angry. And he says, you know, if you do what it's right, won't you be accepted? Now for us, a lot of times we get angry at God. We get angry in general. Because we want things the way we want them. We want to be in control.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving down the expressway. It just comes out. The amen comes out.
Well,
you get angry fast.
Come on.
Yeah.
And God says, listen, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And for the most part, we know what's right.
Yeah.
It's right here. You don't have to go far. You can study your Bible. And for the most part, we know, or we can seek to find out. But why do we get angry at God? When we put ourselves in situations that rob us of our joy, then we yell at God. You know? God's saying, I'm not the one who encouraged you to do the drugs and do the drinking and sleeping around and steal and hates and all these things.
Come on, Jay.
Why are you angry at me? And we treat God like he's a big punching bag in the sky. Mm. Religious people love to come to church, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But problem is they come for what they can get out of it versus what they can give. And a lot of times people say, listen, I like this church. I want to go to this church here because it entertains me. I like that. The minister's funny. I like the minister. He's got a great choir. I like that. They have good food afterwards. I like that. It's close to my house.
Yep.
So I don't have to really, you know, suffer to get there.
Yeah.
I like some of the women there. Huh? Some people come to church with that spirit versus, no, this church helps me get close to God.
Right. Come on, Jay.
There's a different spirit there.
Yep.
And it's all about relationship. Where are you at in your relationship with God? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And God's not the one who needs to change. We're the one who needs to change. Right?
Yeah.
Then he goes on. He says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Wow. This is an intense little passage. And I've talked about this passage before. But it's such a powerful visual aid. Now you think about it. My vision is you're inside a room. And there's this huge monster creature standing in front of the door. And it's not going to let you out unless you deal with that thing.
Right.
It's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And not only that, it desires to have you. Okay? You got a target. You know, it's kind of like Terminator. It's coming. It's not going to stop. It's coming after you. You have a target. Satan's not happy with you. He wants you dead. Okay? And we got all those other movies. Jurassic Park.
Oh, come on!
Ah, this thing's running after you. And just all these horrible, rip you apart. People getting each ripped apart. That kind of thing. That's how I view this thing.
Yeah.
That's how we got to view sin.
Yeah.
It's nothing to mess around with.
Right.
But you still got to deal with it. Wow. It's coming after you. You look at Cain's heart. He's got a bad attitude. He's angry. All right. Then he kills his brother. What does his brother do wrong? Nothing. He's trying to please God. And we will get persecuted for trying to please God. People won't like it because if we're righteous and the religious are not, they get bad attitude. Because it makes them look bad. That's what's going on here. Well, does that mean we stop being righteous? No. We love God. And then Cain has an attitude towards God. He says, God says, where's your brother? You look at his spirit. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Boy, I can't imagine saying that to God.
Wow.
Yes, you are your brother's keeper. And on top of it, he lied. I don't know. Yeah, you did know. And so there's a progression of sin. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Sin is crouching at the door. It will keep getting worse. You're not going anywhere until you deal with it. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Our sin will find us up. So that's why we're going to talk about mastering self.
Come on.
We look at this. He says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. The term master, looked it up in the dictionary. A victor or conqueror. Exercising mastery. Dominating or predominant. Mastering some occupation. Being an overcomer. You know, you have the master's degree.
Amen.
Woo! All right? People going after the master's degree.
Yeah.
Come on, right? Here you go.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, what does that mean? It means that it says something about you. You have had to go through a lot of time, energy, sweat, effort. You had to suffer to get there.
Yeah.
They just don't hand those things up. It says you have achieved something amazing. Then you get the master's tournament. I did not get invited to it. Now, why? I like to golf. But I didn't get invited. Why? I'm not a master at it. You ever golfed with a guy that's really good at golf?
No.
It's amazing. I went with this guy who was a pro. He actually took me out on my birthday a few years back. And we're up there, and he hits the ball right on the green, you know, like 290 yards. I was like, do that. Let's do it again. Does it again. And there's so much involved in golf to master that thing. You have to fight self to get good at it. Nobody just gets invited to it. You have to have a level or a skill of mastery. Then you got the old martial arts.
Come on, Dom.
Who's the master?
Dom.
No, Bruce Lee. Sorry, Dom. You'll get there. All right, so you got Chuck Norris, right?
Yeah.
And won all these tournaments. He's awesome. Amazing. All right? But then you got Bruce Lee. As far as I know, I've heard he never won one title. He never went out for a title. And there's movies of him fighting Chuck Norris, right? Fist of Fury or something like that. Awesome, awesome. You ever want to have a great D time? There you go. Okay? But anyways, Chuck Norris said, he's the master. I'm the student. And it's really not just a title. It's a lifestyle. Somebody who has mastered self to do amazing, amazing things. There's a lot of things that are going to try to stop you from moving ahead. But there's got to be this intensity and drive to overcome. And we can look at these things as monsters.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one time, when I was a kid, I was a paperboy.
Yep. Come on.
Now, one of the biggest problems that paperboys have are with dogs.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And always the owner of the dog says, oh, he won't bite you. He's very good. He's nice. This and that.
No.
People have said that about my dog. Right, Anna? And, of course, they always try to bite you. So I had this one situation, right? And they had this box on the side of the building. And they always wanted me to put the paper inside it in case it rains and all that. But the dog was on a leash that was on a wire. It was like one of these pit bull things, right? And I'm like, how do I get to this thing? Every day it's like, how do I do this thing? So I would ride my bike there really quick, put it in there, but then I had to get out of it. Because as soon as I got there, you saw me come after me, right? And one time, sure enough, this thing got a hold of me, and he latched its teeth in my leg, right?
Ah.
And I'm like, this with the paper. He would not let go. But I'm here to say I mastered that.
Yeah. Come on, let's hear it, bro.
I won't tell you what I did.
No,
I wasn't a disciple back then. Oh, 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 I mastered that. Yeah.
Oh, no, dude.
Okay, point one, number one. You must define it. He says, but you must master it. Well, what is it? We all have our own things. There's got to be something that we can say, this is it. And a lot of times we don't know because we're, you know, too involved emotionally to really understand ourselves. So we need other people to help us define it. But define it you must, or else you don't know what you're swinging at. The question is, what owns you? What won't you give up?
Come on, Jay.
Then it's mastery. Right. What robs you of your joy? Pops its head up and boom, you're not happy. What causes you to be fearful? And you stop in your tracks. And what damages your other relationships? You know, the heart is deceitful and beyond cure. We can understand it. So we need each other to help us through this. But going after it, we need to. Now, as most of you know, Carmen, my daughter, has been very sick. She's been in the emergency room a few times the last week and a half. And the problem is they really hadn't defined what was wrong until the last time. And her throat was swollen so bad that they would literally have students come in to look at it. They said, we've never seen anything like this. Okay. So what did they do? They put her an IV in her arm and they pumped her full of antibiotics. And that's the quickest way to do it. And that thing starts going down fast. All right. She's not out of the clear yet, but she's taking those antibiotics. But if we hadn't attacked that thing, if she just lays around, what happens? It just doesn't go away. And there's a lot of suffering. And that's really what, in essence, is what happens to us. If we don't attack something, define it, what is the thing that's wrong? We can do all sorts of things going after all, but if we don't get to the root of the problem, it's just going to come back. And it's for us, we have got to go at, we got to define it initially, or else we don't know what we're swinging at, right?
Yeah.
You don't go after it. Jesus said, if you seek, you'll find.
Come on.
You got to find out what the issues are. Point number two, you got to hate it. Look in Romans chapter 7.
Come on,
we're going to look at Apostle Paul. Let's see if you can relate with this passage.
Come on, Jay.
Romans chapter 7, starting verse 14. Now, if you know Paul is going through this stuff, we are. Paul was pretty an intense dude. Yeah. Romans 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Yeah. That's pretty intense for Paul to say that. Paul is unspiritual. What does that mean about me? Yeah. Soul is a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, you can sense Paul's frustration here. Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah.
You got this thing and it just won't let you go. And you say, man, I don't want to do this. Why do I keep doing it? It hurts me. It hurts others. It hurts God. I have the desire to do good, but I can't carry it out. What I hate, I do. Now, you may hate it, okay, but your sinful nature loves it. And that's in us. So we got to look at, you know, do I really do what I hate to do? No, what I love to do. And that's in our heart. So we got to deal with it at a heart level. Why? Because the outward stuff is just a reflection of what's going on in the heart.
Right. Yeah.
So if you don't attack the heart, it's just going to come back. Yeah. Jesus told the Pharisees, you're like whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside, but the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Boy, I'm sure they'd like to hear that. So there's a war going on inside of you. It's kind of like, you know, in those programs, you had the little devil here, the little angel here.
Yeah.
Do it, do it, do it. Oh, what do you think? Don't do that. Yeah, 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 you love it. You'll repent tomorrow.
Oh.
You know, those thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
You got to battle it up there.
Yeah.
Because that's where your faith is. Paul says, what a wretched man I am. How do you overcome? He says, through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It really is very simple. It's about relationship with God. How much do you love God?
Yeah.
So we need to get help. We need God to rescue us. We need to rescue each other, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the example of weight loss.
Come on, bro.
People are like, don't go there. What are you doing? But when you think about weight loss, people try. There's a battle there. You know, I think at 30 years old, it hit me. My metabolism changed, and I could eat like crazy. I loved it. When I was in my 20s, man, this is awesome. Then something clicked. Boom. It's like, whoa. And then did it again when I was 40. Boom. Boom. 45. Boom. 50. Boom. By the time you're up there, you're eating like bird feet, you know? I'm still gaining weight with this stuff. Why did God drape me like this? Man! It's a challenge. It just is. And, you know, in the 90s, there was this guy named, what was his name? Simmons?
Richard
Simmons.
Oh, no.
I don't know about that. Give me the creeps.
Me too.
But the women were like, he's my savior. He rescued me. He's so awesome.
It's like, he's so weird.
He's your savior? Man. And what happens is if you don't define it as sin in a lot of ways, okay, you just go back to it.
Yeah.
There may be a motive that I don't like the way I look, and I don't know what it does to my health. But if you don't hate it, it's going to come back.
Right.
Richard Simmons is not the savior. Is the motive I just want to feel better about myself, or it's sin?
Come on.
There's a difference there, and you can overcome it.
Amen.
Point number three.
Come on, bro.
It's not an option. Look in Luke 9.
Come on, bro.
In our lives, we try to make sin an option. We do it in our mind, and I think you know what I mean.
Yep.
Luke 9, verse 21. I want you to picture yourself here. You're there. You're with Jesus. You're watching this thing. And wouldn't that be awesome? But kind of scary. Verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Anyone who is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Okay, Jesus is preaching. All right, you're standing there. And maybe in the distance, you see somebody carrying a cross to be crucified. They understood it back then. It happened all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crucifixion was around 100 years before Jesus was on the scene. That's what they did with prisoners. And Jesus says, hey, listen, everybody. That's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be rejected by the Pharisees, the chief priests, teachers of law. And then I'm going to be tortured to death. Now, come follow me. Mm-hmm. Not very inspirational.
Right.
Gee, I'm really drawn to this message. But that was Jesus' life. That was his goal. And then he lays it out. Who's he talking here? Anybody. Anyone would come after me. Anyone who wants a relationship with me, this is what you can kind of do. If you choose to do. That's not what he said. You must deny yourself. It is not an option. Point number three. It's not an option. If you give yourself an option, what happens? You take the other option.
Yeah.
Suffer a lot or get comfortable, and that's what people want. They want the other option.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Matrix, the blue pill, the green pill. What are you going to choose? And Jesus is bringing us to a decision. He's saying you can't live a selfish lifestyle and walk with me.
Right.
It doesn't happen. Well, if you choose to be selfish in any relationship, what happens? How well does that go? Married?
Not well.
You know? Goes great, right?
No.
He says you must do it. It's not an option. If you know, Anthony and Maria getting married here, right? And this week, Anthony informs Maria, I want to see other women while we're married. But you don't understand, they're attractive and they like me. Would she accept that?
No.
People do that in their walk with God.
Yeah.
Religious world does that.
Right.
And many times we do that.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Because we don't go after the sin.
Come on, bro.
Sin is what destroys relationships. People want a relationship with God on their terms.
Yeah.
But you say, can't do it. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. In other words, you deal with sin on a daily basis.
Right.
And you follow me. You walk with me. And you can't walk with Jesus and not change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
If you've been in the church for a year and you're not any different for a year, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Come on.
Because Jesus is not going to walk with you and not talk about it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Well, today I'm just going to go give totally into sin and I'll repent tomorrow. Is that going to work?
No.
There's a repercussion for sin.
Yeah.
Jesus says you deal with the sin. You get it out. Now, there's something that bothers me.
Oh,
come on.
Talk about it.
Just one thing.
One thing.
A lot of times people will get baptized. And you know what? It's amazing when people make all these changes. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Study the Bible with people like Brandon.
Come on.
Brandon was like, he was like that big fish that just would not come in. I mean, we worked him. And he wanted to come in.
Yeah.
Man. And he overcame, and he overcame, and he overcame. And isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
But what happens after a person is baptized? A lot of times they just kind of, okay, I'm going to mellow out here. I'm in. Imagine if Anthony did that to Maria. I'm in. Okay, now I can just kind of coast. Take a break. She understands.
No.
She loves me.
Oh my God.
And that's how people treat God. Look in Hebrews chapter 10.
Come on, Dad.
Come on, bro.
It needs to bother you if you're that like that. It needs to bother you when you see it in others.
Right.
And you need to challenge it because it's wrong. Now, there's a false doctrine out there. It's called once saved, always saved.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Basically, what they're saying is once you become a Christian, you're in. You're going to go to heaven no matter what. To me, that's just the most craziest thing I've ever heard. It's like this whole analogy I used with Anthony and Maria. Is that okay? God is fired up about that? Well, let's look at what he says.
Come on.
Chapter 10, verse 26. If we deliberately keep sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that consumed the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more do you, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified it, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge who? His people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Mm. Wow, this is pretty heavy, Jay.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the Bible, right?
Yeah. Come on.
Why is God so upset? Because we're abusing him.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
Now, he talks about deliberate sin. Will that put you in hell? No. But deliberately keep on sinning. Mm-hmm. If I deliberately sin against Barb, I can repent and she can forgive me. But if I consistently do that for a year, what is she going to think?
Right.
You don't love me.
Right.
You don't care about hurting me.
Right.
And it damages the relationship.
Yeah.
Come on.
And God says, listen, you become my enemy. And we know he's talking to disciples because he says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him? They were sanctified.
Yep.
He pulls the blood into it. And he's saying it's like you're spitting on the cross.
Wow.
Come on,
that's what he's saying.
Come on, bro.
There's a lot of other passages here. Let me look at one more. 2 Peter chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro. Good stuff.
Chapter 2, verse 20. It says, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were in the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness.
Come on.
Than to have known it and turn their backs on the sacred command of that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit. And a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Wow. Wow. These people are Christians. Why? He says because they escaped the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says it would have been better for them not to have been a Christian. Punishment is worse because you knew what was right and you were still rejecting me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the powerful visual aid is a dog eating its vomit.
Yeah.
Man. Just envision that. Imagine that. Let's say you threw up. Okay, we won't.
Thank you.
That's what God says it's like.
Right.
You're like that dog. That's how he sees it. And you can't just say, I'm in, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's wrong. You got to fierce it.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4:16. How you guys doing out there?
Good, good, bro.
Good, bro.
Hanging in there.
We got that visual going.
We got that visual going. All right, verse 16. 1 Peter 4:16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, by the way, this is one of the few times where a Christian is in the Bible. Do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Wow. What does that mean? There needs to be a reverent fear of abusing God.
Yeah.
And really, it's not this overwhelming thing. It's just staying consistent and attacking it. But not giving yourself an option to sin.
Yeah.
If you give yourself an option, you will take it.
Yep.
Yep.
And God knows that. Look in Galatians chapter 6.
Come on, Jay.
Come on, bro.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
One day.
It says, do not be deceived.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do.
Come on.
We try to deceive ourselves to thinking, I'm okay, you're okay.
Right. Yeah.
A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please a sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You reap what you sow. And I know you've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
But what's the analogy here? Whatever you feed will grow.
Yeah.
If you feed your sin, it will grow. If you feed righteousness, it will grow. The question is, what are we feeding?
Come on, bro.
And there's got to be this wake up. What am I doing? I got to hate this and change. If you don't have a fighter spirit, you're not going to make it happen.
Right.
Yep.
That's where the denial self comes in. There's got to be this intensity of drive where you say, no, it's over.
Yeah.
It's time to move on.
Yeah.
And isn't it awesome when we do?
Yeah.
He says, don't grow weary. I had a family member one time tell me, it was very saddened for me to hear it. He said, Jay, I know I'm going to hell, so I might as well have fun doing it.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Why would you say that?
Why?
Because I don't want to fight anymore.
Wow.
I just want to have fun. Wow. And see, sometimes that's in the back of our head.
Yeah.
This walk with God is tough. Yeah, it's tough. But you reap what you sow.
Right.
Yeah.
You look at the relationship on here. They would not happen if you live a selfish lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Relationships in here are awesome.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm closer to you than most of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. All my family. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Why? Because we have a standard. There's a commitment to love each other.
Right.
There's a commitment to deal with things in our lives. There's nothing exciting about saying, I'm a quitter.
Right.
Imagine that as a kid. My goal in life is to quit.
Wow.
What I want to do. Exciting, huh?
Wow.
There's nothing more, nothing powerful about a person who can't control themselves.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that person that they just constantly give in to things? They're not fighting against them.
Yeah.
Nothing powerful about that lifestyle. Can't feel good about it. Hebrews 12:4, it says that you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood.
Wow.
Jesus did. Whenever we have communion, I try to envision myself standing before the cross and telling God about my week. And if there's sin in there, I try to envision myself saying, but you don't understand how hard it is. You don't understand how much I'm suffering. I can't do that before the cross.
Right.
Have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
We need to be ashamed and disgusted. We won't get over the hump. The battle's before us.
Yes.
We can win the battle.
Yeah.
And here's the good side.
Come on.
Of the sermon. Psalm.
Amen.
Verse 18.
Come on.
The victory. I think you guys have had enough of that other stuff. But really, we got to understand all that we talked about here. You got to define it. Otherwise, you can't win. You got to hate it. Or else you won't overcome. Right? That's just, if you don't hate it, if you don't attack it, it will own you. Right? And you can't make it an option. Why don't you look at David's spirit here?
Come on.
In verse 16. Psalm 18, verse 16. Look at his relationship with God. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. And isn't that what sin does?
Yep.
Deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. That's what sin's like. Satan's like that. They confronted me in the day of disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help,